As I wrote on your outline there, Isaiah gives an incredibly beautiful picture. It's really like a divine transaction between the Lord and his covenant people. So what I'd like to do is read from Isaiah 61. So you can join along with me there on your outline. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Isaiah was a prophet that was a prophet to the nation of Israel, obviously. He's one of the major Old Testament prophets, and his ministry was about 700 years before Jesus came to earth. And one of the things, he had a really hard assignment, and that is he was to keep speaking to Israel, to the people of Israel, even though, and it technically was the people of Judah, there were two kingdoms, but nevertheless, when I say Israel, you know what I mean. He would keep speaking to the people of Israel, even though he knew that they were going to have to go through a time in captivity and then ultimately come back and receive the Lord's blessing and favor again. What an amazing ministry that, you know, the scripture says that the prophets really didn't fully even understand all that they were prophesying, but they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. And so it's interesting, in the last half of Isaiah, you get these words about restoration and arise, shine, for your light has come. Because God is a God who always brings restoration, as we just sung about. That's who he is. That's what he does. In fact, in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I am he that was dead and now I'm alive. And he says, I behold, I make all things new. That's really what the Lord does. He makes all things new. People have different opinions about what the Lord does. People have different opinions about what the Lord thinks of them. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord makes all things new. So be encouraged. He's not here to hammer you. He's here to bless you. He's here to lift you out of unhealthy places in your soul. That's who he is. He brings restoration. And it's interesting that, you know, sometimes you can imagine people in the Old Covenant, because they really revered the prophet, and at a certain point his words were put in a scroll and they were read. And we didn't have just a Bible, it was like this scroll. You've seen pictures of that. We've seen movies where probably about yay big and open it up, you know, and it was special. The word of God was revered because it was precious. Somebody actually had to copy it from generation to generation to keep it available. And so what happens in the time of Jesus, he had just gone through a couple of really incredible moments in his ministry. The first moment was that he came to the River Jordan and he was baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin, right? Everybody would nod if that's correct. That is correct. That was his cousin. He was baptized by John the Baptist. And at his baptism, it says that You know, there was a voice out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then that was the witness of the Father. And then the Holy Spirit came and rested on him like a dove. And so that was the Lord saying, even Jesus needed to be affirmed. Have you ever thought about that? Even the Son of God needed that affirmation. We can all have questions about, are we spiritual enough? Are we, you know, that was pretty vague, but are we really, would anybody really want to know us if they could really know us? You know, those kind of thoughts. And things where we just think less of ourselves. And even the Son of God needed that affirmation of the Father. And it's really powerful, and it's going to come into play as we read this scripture in a moment. But also, the next thing that happened right after that, it said he was led, now get this, by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days, 40 nights. That's, you're thinking, Lord, if you ever want to lead me somewhere, you're thinking, I'm thinking of the prayer, lead us not into temptation, but there was something, there was that confrontation with the God, the little g of this world, that Jesus had that confrontation. And it says that he came out of that in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to pick up there, John. I think we have a scripture that we're going to read here from Luke chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding region. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read, and the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. So here's what we're going to read, guys. I think we all know this. We're going to read the fulfillment of the scripture that Isaiah had made 700 years earlier. That was a crazy moment. I mean, I wish we had a video of it. It would be amazing. He said, so he reads in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And then it says, and he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes in the synagogue were intently directed at him. Now he began to say to them, because what happened in the synagogue, I'm just going to say this, I didn't know this, but I researched it, because you don't want to stand up here and talk about something you don't know anything about. In the synagogue, they would have as many as seven people read scriptures, and some of these were just not, they were not rabbis. They were respected people. They could be a common person of good standing. You know, they would read the scripture, but what happened is he had that place of honor of reading the scripture, and then you stand in honor of reading, and then you sit down. And so it seems like, oh, is he done? No, when you sit down, you begin to make commentary, or you begin to bring insights from the Word of God. So as he's sitting down, so back to that, and he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all the people were speaking well of him and admiring the gracious words which were coming from his lips. And yet they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son? Isn't that the kid from down the street that's a carpenter?" He's gotten bigger, yeah. 30, and he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. All the miracles that we heard that you were done in Capernaum, do here in your own hometown, do here in your hometown as well. But he said, truly, I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. That's kind of become a saying, isn't it? No prophet's welcome in his hometown. This goes from bad to worse. We won't read all of it, but the bottom line is they get so angry that they kind of, in a mob, get him outside a town, and there's this cliff, and they were wanting to basically just toss him off the cliff because they felt like he was speaking blasphemy, and it says that he walked right through them. So, you know, I'm going to bring up an interesting side point. Is it okay to bring up a side point that is not the main focus of the message? You know, I don't know what the people in that synagogue or what the Jewish people thought that scripture in Isaiah 61 was saying. But I believe, this is just conjecture, I believe they'd heard that scripture before. They could have thought that the Spirit of the Lord, there was language in there that was indicative, the anointed one, the Lord has anointed me. Those words meant the Messiah. But you know how things just go over people's heads? We all experience that. And I believe when he read those words and said, today this scripture has been fulfilled, that there was incredible revelation. I believe the lights started to come on. But the problem was, I think what shut down things from them receiving him is that we all have a preconceived idea of how sometimes a prophecy is going to come to pass. Now, I'm going to talk about just personal words because that's all I'm really wanting to talk about here, and that is I've received words from the Lord, and because I've been in leadership, I know I've been blessed. I've received words from a lot of people that are name brand people. If I were to name them, you would go, oh, yes. And I actually have not had a bad experience with prophecy. And there are some bad ones out there, I think. But when you talk to me, it's like, I love prophecy. It's been awesome. The Lord has used it. And one of the things that I've noticed is that in my life, when that prophecy comes to pass and it's fulfilled, that it always looks a little bit different than I would have imagined it. And these people, they had some, you know, that basically they thought of the Messiah as someone who was going to deliver them from the power of Rome, who was going to make the nation great, something along the lines of a David or a Solomon. And so they missed who Jesus was. And I don't fault them for it, because it would have been really hard for anybody to have the insight. But nevertheless, I just offer that to you, that sometimes you may have received a word. Now, I'm going to qualify this. I'm talking about a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a prophetic word that the Lord has spoken to you in your journaling or in your spirit, or a word that someone has spoken over you. If that word keeps coming back to you, what I've found is the words that are from the Lord that are seem to be relevant, they periodically reprise in my mind. They come back to me. And here's what I believe about a prophecy. Most prophecy is conditional, and not all prophecy, but prophetic words in the New Testament sense of the word. So what I would say is that when you receive that prophetic word, it's an invitation from the Lord to begin to pray and to posture yourself to see that word come to pass. And then I'm spending a little more time on this than I intended, but I'll go ahead and finish this up. And to say, the first thing is, I believe also prophetic words should be confirming words that are... I find that most of the time, almost all the time, the words that I've received are confirming of something that the Lord has already put in my spirit. And I believe that many times, if you're getting something from left field, just take it. If it doesn't, if you don't bear witness with it, just set it on the shelf and say, Lord, I'll just let you bring that back. Otherwise, if it's you, I'm not going to focus my and try to live into something that I'm not bearing witness with. And also, it's got to be scriptural, and it's got to bear witness with you. So I don't know, maybe that was important for somebody, but if you're getting words, I want to, if you've gotten words and you feel like they're from the Lord, I would continue to pray those words. I have a file on my computer, and it's a file where I have prophetic words, and there are times I will just pray and posture my heart. Lord, you said this. I just pray that you continue to bring revelation, you know, and so I want to encourage you in that this morning. Now, back to our regularly scheduled topic this morning. what I'd like to do is go through Isaiah 61, because actually this is Jesus. I mean, it's the foundation of his ministry, right? It's what he came to do, and I'd like to look at that. And what I'd also like us to do is to see that this is who our inheritance, these things that he's come to give, exchanging, you know, glad sorrow and giving you gladness and giving you joy, giving you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. This is our inheritance as believers, as sons and daughters of God. So I'm going to look at this verse by verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me. As I said earlier, Jesus received the blessing of the Father. And isn't it interesting that some 40, maybe like 40 some days before that, he had had that incredible experience of a voice from heaven and the Holy Spirit resting on him like a dove. And Jesus confirms that he is the anointed one in this scripture when he says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I just want to encourage us, you know, sometimes we think that Jesus says, well, what Jesus did doesn't really count because after all, he's Jesus, you know, it's like, nobody's going to be that good. And it is true, but he is our model. He's the one that we are following. And so he came, it says he came into the region. It says, and I'm reading back up here in verse 14, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage us to realize that we have an anointing. The scripture says, I couldn't put all the scriptures that I wanted in here because I like to just use one piece of paper. But it says, the scripture says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. There is an anointing within each and every one of you. And I think one of the ways we steward, we just find ways to steward that anointing that is within us. And sometimes that's by meditation. Sometimes that's by praying in the Spirit. Sometimes that's by praying the Word. It's just yielding to the Spirit and operating out of the fruit of the Spirit, making a decision not to respond in the flesh, but responding in this power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit's real powerful too. It's as powerful as some of the real miracles that would get our attention. I want both myself. So as we go on, Jesus says to bring good news to the humble. And what I've done here in blue, if you have an outline, I really kind of like the original language, so I wanted you to see both. the King James, the New King James, to preach good tidings to the poor. Now, this word poor here doesn't mean that you're just like, wow, I just can't rub two nickels together, I'm poor. But if I was rich, he wouldn't be preaching this to me. No, I believe what he's saying is the first thing here, to bring good news to the humble. Jesus brings good news to those who can receive his message. And there's a humility that it takes to receive a message that says, you must lay down your life and I will live my life through you. That inherently, Jesus' words and his message is to the humble, the humble of spirit, not the proud who are self-righteous. We think of the Pharisees as epitomizing that religious spirit, that self-righteous. Jesus was right there in their midst, but they could not receive from him because they couldn't humble themselves. The scripture says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So Jesus came to, and his message is good news. And you know, the gospel is good news. The gospel is transformational. It's salvation, deliverance, healing in our souls and our bodies. It's more than just answering an altar call and then, I want to say this carefully, not appropriating the work of the cross to receive all that God has for you. Because some people would say, well, like Southern Baptists, like where I grew up, and I'm not saying they would all say this, but there was this thought that, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things are new. You know, so what they would say is, when you get saved, when you say yes to Jesus, when that moment where you surrender your life, I believe they're correct, of course, theologically. Southern Baptists are pretty solid, obviously. And that is that you get all of the Holy Spirit inside of you at that point. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Scripture says that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. But here's the thing. I don't disagree with their theology, but here's where sometimes, and I should pick on the Southern Baptists, I'm sure they've got this straightened out, but sometimes we don't realize that just like we had to, by faith and by the power of the cross, receive our entrance into the kingdom, also by the power of the cross, we can receive healing in our soul. Over soul wounds, over traumatic experiences, over bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. But we have to appropriate the same power that saves us and transfers us. The scripture says we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We'll go darkness over here on the left and kingdom of darkness into the light. It's an instantaneous transformation, but we work out our salvation, right? And so what Jesus is talking about here, what Isaiah wrote and what Jesus affirmed was his mission, is that this is what we're reading about. It's this great exchange where instead of being a person who's bitter, we can be a person who's kind. We can be a person who's forgiving. It's just like we could stand here all morning and say, you know, instead of being angry, we can be full of love. Or instead of being fearful, we can be full of love. That's what the gospel is about. It's a great exchange, and I believe it's beautifully laid out. So the gospel is transformational. It's salvation, deliverance, and healing in our souls and bodies. And here's one I'm thinking, it's actually more holistic. I don't know if that's a word that some was has been used by New Age, but I like it. So let me hear it. I'm saying this in a biblical sense. It's more holistic than just making a decision one day, coming forward and saying, I'm going to follow Christ. It's accessing the power of the Holy Spirit to receive all that God's death on the cross purchased for us. So here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. There's actually a healing that takes place. And Jesus brings healing to our heart, our soul, our emotions. And he enables us to hope again. You know, one of the things that happens is it's hard to have faith when you don't have hope, right? I mean, you have to have hope or it's hard to have faith. And I believe that one of the ways of looking at this, I put this in here, binding up pulls together the broken pieces of our soul and repairs the breaks. I'm going to move on and I'm going to comment on some of this. He says he's here to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners. In New King James says to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. You can be a follower of Jesus and still need to be released from something. Jesus says that if you have unforgiveness in your heart, that you won't forgive your brother, you're turned over to the torturers. And as I spoke on that one time, and I don't know, the options aren't real good. You can go A, he just means this, B, he means this, C. The bottom line is you don't want any of those options. You do not want unforgiveness. And so Jesus comes to bring freedom to prisoners. Jesus, the words of Jesus here in John 8 says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Let me just say that also the Lord can set the captives free, and he can set you free from an addiction, a sin pattern. Sin patterns, we feel like they just keep popping up. We have this propensity. The Lord can bring freedom. Some people receive that freedom in an instant. And that's amazing. I love that. But most of us receive freedom just gradually as we keep walking, as we keep submitting our lives to the Lord, as we keep listening, and as we keep responding. You have to stay humble and you have to stay teachable. Jesus announces that he is here to heal the damage that sin brings. I really love this quote. Sin has done great damage, so there needs to be a great work of redemption. Because sin breaks hearts, he will heal the brokenhearted. Because sin makes captives, he will proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Because sin oppresses, he will proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I guess I want to point out, as we move to this next section, let me just go ahead and say, we're looking now at the line to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. As I wrote here, Jesus ended his reading of this passage with to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, because his first advent or coming brings the favorable year of the Lord. The day of vengeance of God is his second coming. That's why he stopped. He said, today the scripture has been fulfilled. Now, isn't it interesting that there's a favorable year, and obviously it's more than a year. That favorable year has been going for 2,000 years now. It's not literally a year, but there's this year. And then we have this, like, out of 1/365, the day of vengeance of our God. So when God is coming because he's just and righteous to bring an end to unrighteousness and to set things straight, he's not out to, he's not mad. It's his righteousness. He's coming, and his reward is coming with him, and he will also judge everyone at that time. So we live circumspectly, but we don't live in fear, because we live in a time that's called the favorable year of the Lord. We're at a time when God is calling us as sons and daughters. He's saying, come into your destiny, come into your calling, come into your purpose. And then he says, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes. And I like the King James there, to give them beauty for ashes. And you know, you see, we've all heard this, like, sackcloth and ashes. Like, I was, you know, like, were you upset? Yes, I was in sackcloth and ashes. Well, when you see that in those cultures where people don't hide their emotions, something happens, and they will actually get on their knees and they will put ashes on their head. And that's basically a place of desperation. It's a place of despair. It's a place, I want to tell you the good news, it's a place that God can meet you. You might have come here this morning, or you might be online at that kind of a place where, you know, I don't have the ashes on my head, but I might as well. It's a place where it's a place of despair where everything has gone wrong. And ashes, as I wrote here, symbolizes deep mourning and that you're very serious about this. You're very serious about something. You were laying before God everything and pleading for his mercy. I don't know if that sentence makes sense, but you get the idea. We're saying, God, I've got to hear from you. God, I'm in desperate need. That's the ashes on the head. That's what that represents. And then the scripture says that a garland... guys, we don't really want to wear headdresses, do we? I mean, it's like, I don't know. I saw one of the other words for it was like a laurel, which is kind of like, reminds me of a Greek thing with a, I don't know. Everybody has their own image of these things. But the bottom line, or a crown. But here's the thing. The great exchange is we bring God the ashes of our life, and he gives us the crown of life. He says, you may feel like you're at the end, but I'm going to help you overcome. I love the scripture. I love Jesus' words in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And you know, I haven't researched that, but I think Jesus meant a mourning rite. You know what I mean? Not like, I'm just always mad, I'm just upset. You know, I don't think that's mourning, you know. I think it's mourning over unrighteous things that have happened. I think it's mourning over sorrow in our own life and our own sin. I can't fully unpack that, but I can tell you this, that blessed are those who mourn, Jesus said, for they shall be comforted. And then he says, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. So we're really kind of in the same subject thing of, he gives us a crown, he gives us the oil of gladness. And that the oil of joy in the New King James. It's the oil of the Holy Spirit. The oil of joy is the Holy Spirit. And it says this, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You may wonder, what is this thing, the kingdom of God, about? Well, I can tell you, it's about a lot. And it's definitely about having righteousness, that we have right standing with God, peace, that his peace indwells our spirit. And there's a deep joy that transcends happiness. It's like, happy, whatever. You know, joy, yes. Happy, I like to be happy. Joy is way deeper than happiness. Happiness is somewhere up here, joy is way down here. It's a solidity that can't be shaken. Amen. And then the next part, it says that he's going to give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to go with the King James there. See, that's the point. Sometimes I wanted to go with the NASB, and sometimes I wanted to go with the New King James, so I gave myself the option. So the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In Christ, we are given a robe of righteousness. Talks about that in Isaiah, actually later on in 61. And then in the scriptures, the New Testament, we're told that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I like to think of sometimes, I kind of like prophetic acts. Just, you know what I mean? And he's thinking, what in the world's that? Well, I just kind of like, sometimes I'll just literally like, I take this off, take it off, drop it. And then I just put on the robe of righteousness. Sometimes in my mind, I just like to stand here with my arms up and say, Lord, put on that robe of righteousness, that garment of praise. So there's that sense of him just, and he's already done it. It's kind of like the armor of God. Every piece is Jesus Christ. He's already inside of us. But it helps us to remind ourselves, to rehearse those things, that we have been given a robe of righteousness, that we have a garment of praise. But I believe that we need to begin to activate that garment of praise in a way that brings release. And we know that praise is a powerful weapon. Because what it does, it first and foremost transforms us as it comes out of our mouth. As we begin to worship the Lord, there's a transformation that happens. We begin to say, God, you're my focus. You're in charge. You're in control. I give myself to you. I give my affections to you. And the beautiful thing is that garment of praise, when we begin to worship him, we are transformed. And it's just this cycle. It just keeps going and going and going, bringing that transformation. I didn't put anything here about the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I think I ran out of space. But you know, I love what Psalms 1 talks about. Psalms 1 says that if you follow the Lord, you're like a tree planted beside rivers of living water, whose leaf never withers, and you bring your fruit forth in season. And also, an oak is a powerful image. So Jesus is saying here, the Holy Spirit is saying, you're going to become an oak, not by your own strength, but by the power of my Spirit. I'm going to make you an oak, something that brings shade and life and strength. So there is a great exchange in Christ. The brokenhearted receive healing. What I want to do is I want to encourage us to believe for more than just, I guess it's always going to be like this. Sometimes we need to come to terms with things. You know what I mean? Sometimes we need to say, I'm getting older. I think that's going to keep happening. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Lots of stuff. More than I would have time to even elaborate on here. But I just believe in our soul, we need to say, Lord, you bring restoration. Restore my soul. I want to step into transformation. And we have a God who says, I have a great exchange for you. This offer is good because it's the favorable year of the Lord. It's the favorable year of the Lord. I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm calling you up out of places. You know, John Brown likes to say he's calling the church up out of the church to be the church. And part of that, obviously, is apprehending everything that Christ has for us. So, looking at this again, the great exchange in Christ, the brokenhearted receive healing. The captives are set free. Those who mourn receive comfort. They receive beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. How many of you know if we got that much down, we would be doing really good? It's available, right? I'm sitting there going, this is available. It's available. So here's how you do this thing. You say, Holy Spirit, I'm lousy. I said this last time. Somebody told me, if you don't write down enough, you'll say the same thing every sermon. But anyway. And this is a guy that's preached for years, and I thought, I was sitting there listening. I'm thinking, I wonder if I do that. I just did. So anyway, if I'm lousy at being the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? That's just not going to work. Because all I'm going to do is condemn myself. I'm just going to bring condemnation. I wonder if am I doing that right? Or what about that? Or, you know, here's what I say. Psalm 139, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. Show me if there be any wicked way in me. So here's the thing. The Holy Spirit wants to walk you into new places of freedom. See, here's the thing. I believe that what people have been saying and sensing is that there is a spiritual awakening that God is bringing, not only to this nation. It's bigger than this nation. We do think of our nation a lot. All this drama in our nation. But it's way bigger than our nation. He's bringing it to the earth. And a big part of this is us walking into our destiny. This is Christ's ministry. Guess who else's ministry this is then? Ours. If it's Christ's ministry, it's our ministry. He's our leader. He's our model. He's the one we follow. And I wrote some things down and I want to read. We have access by the Spirit and are empowered to choose to exchange our ashes for beauty. Mourning for joy, despair for praise. Christ's death on the cross gave us access to exchange things of this world for our heavenly inheritance. And I liked that. It's our heavenly inheritance. And there is a cost to making any exchange. In the scripture, Jesus says, he who would save who would try to save his life will lose it, but he who will lose his life for my sake will find it. You know, that's a paradox, and anytime you find a paradox, you're usually finding God. Not always, but certainly we're talking about scriptural stuff here. That's a paradox, because what you have to be willing to do is you have to be willing to turn loose of things. You have to be willing to lose your life. I have to be willing to lose my life. I have to be willing to be transparent to the Lord. I have to be willing to be humble. I have to be willing to be teachable. And there has to be someone in my life. I was driving in this morning, and I felt like that I needed to say this. If I live in isolation and I don't open myself up to anyone, I could still experience transformation, but it's not really what Jesus intended for the church. It's not New Testament transformation. You don't have to have 30 people that you talk to, and just people are going, oh my gosh, that person just opens up immediately and says everything. It's like too much information, and there is no filter. But you know what? Sometimes no filter would be better than not saying anything, but neither one is good. So what I would say is that God puts us in relationship in the body of Christ. And so I can just tell you that he's part of your healing, I believe, is going to come through, and part of my healing has always come through people that pray with me and help me walk through things. It says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. The fervent, effectual prayer of that you may be healed. I may be mixing up scriptures, but it's all good. The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man or woman accomplishes much. So how do you access these things? I'm going to make a plug for a class that we do. So this message hasn't been leading up just to this point. But we do a class called Soul Care, and we're going to do it again in March. I don't know if we're going to do it all virtual or if we're going to do it, I don't know how we'll do it, but we are going to do it. And that's a place for you to be in relationship with other people and experience transformation. And so I just want to encourage you, don't be a lone ranger. Everybody has someone they can open up to. And that's part of transformation. I'll tell you what else is part of transformation: worshiping him, making place for his presence, reading the word and meditating on the word. So many ways that we experience transformation. But there is this incredible, so two words I want to leave you with. There's a great exchange available to you, because it's the favorable year of the Lord. You know what? I don't know what you think about this. It's better for us than it was in the Old Testament. How do I know? Because the scripture says in Hebrews, we have a better covenant. We've got a better covenant. We have Jesus, who's the mediator. He came, and he's our advocate with God. I want to read this quote by John Piper, kind of bring this to a close. Boy, good stuff. John Piper says, we need righteousness to be acceptable to God, but we don't have it. What we have is sin. Because in other words, what he's saying is, we're not righteous in ourselves. That's what he's saying. Without Christ, we're not righteous. I want to clarify that. What we have is sin. So God has what we need, but the problem is we don't deserve it, right? Righteousness is what we need and don't deserve. And what we have, and we have what God hates and rejects, which is sin. He doesn't hate us. He's holy. He's perfect. No sin. You know, That sin is something that keeps us from his presence. What is God's answer to this situation? His answer is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died in our place and bore our condemnation. God lays our sins on Christ and punishes them in him. And in Christ's obedient death, God fulfills and vindicates his righteousness and imputes or credits it to us. Our sin on Christ, his righteousness on us. There's a great exchange right there. He took our sin and he gives us righteousness, right standing. Nothing is broken. Nothing is missing. You are in right standing with God. This is the gospel, the good news, that our sins are laid on Christ and his righteousness is laid on us. And that is the great exchange, and that this great exchange becomes ours, not by works, but by faith alone. By grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Here is the good news that lifts burdens and gives joy and makes strong. I'm going to have the worship team, those that are here, we may just have you come up and just play something as we just take some, I know we're running a little bit late. Let's just posture ourselves right now in a place of receiving. And Lord, we just say, thank you that you came to heal the brokenhearted. Thank you that you came to set the captives free. Lord, thank you that you came to give us oil of joy for our mourning. Lord, thank you that you've given a garment of praise for our discouragement, our despair, and our heaviness. And Lord, we just pray, and we receive this morning your fresh work. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God has anointed me. Lord, we ask for a fresh anointing to fall on us this morning. Lord, let your anointing, your peace, your joy fall on us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here. Lord, I thank you that for each person who's on this live stream right now, we pray, Lord, that there would be transformation and restoration that comes in a fresh, powerful way to each person, Lord. We say yes to you, and we receive, Lord, we say we will receive what you have for us in exchange. Lord, we give you our ashes, and Lord, we receive your beauty. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our live stream. It's great to have you with us to be part of what we're doing here at Harmony. You are part of us. Keep tuning in, and I just bless you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.